My mind is constantly being taken over by what can we do in this community to show them that we love them versus, hey, Sunday's coming and you got to have a message. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really care if the message service suffers because of the service doesn't serve it, suffer. God, don't do that again. This church will fail if this community doesn't know that we love it. So it won't matter how great a sermons that we preach or how great the songs will be if the people that need to hear them the most won't ever walk in the door because they don't know that we care about them and ultimately don't know that the Lord loves them. So I'll take a little bit of suffering on this side. So take your Bibles, go to 1 Samuel 17. When you're there, do you kind of feel like you're in a familiar place? In the Bible, that is. It's very simple. Anybody could preach this. I could probably get anybody to come up here and preach this. One more thought. Is Tegan here? Tegan, you back there? Raise your hand, Tegan. Matter of fact, stand up, Tegan. I was thinking about that. Johnny reminded me. A lot of people sweat down there the other day and put a lot of work in the ground. Tegan, he shed blood down there. That old chainsaw hit him on the knee, and he had some meat hanging out there for all you women. I'm sorry about that. And we're all like, man, you need to get some help. You need to get this, get a band. He's like, no, I'm good. So Tegan's actually tougher than I am because I'd have got me a Band-Aid or something on that thing. But, man, good job yesterday. Y'all give old Tegan a round of applause. You may sit down. Shedding blood. Now, him and Parker are on the same level. He's a whoa, whoa, whoa guy, too. You got to get them guy out. They were on the other side of the fence taking the neighbor's property stuff down. We're like, nah, that's illegal. Come to find out he was a state trooper. So hopefully it all worked out for Van. We squealed tires and left there as quick as possible. I told him right when we first started working, I said, if you hear any sirens, that green Jeep's got to be out of here faster than anybody else. Sorry. That's how we do things. Are y'all ready? Sorry, we're getting a word. If you want to do great things for God, first of all, you got to be saved, got to be born again. You got to have a heart that loves Jesus, and you got to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I understand that totally. But is there anybody in here who's saying, you know what? I just don't want to have an existence. I just don't want to exist as a born-again believer, make it through this life safely, and end up on the shores of heaven. I want to have an impact. I want to have some days that I change the world. I want to have some big, awesome, excellent days. Anybody want to have any excellent days on the face of this planet? Well, I'm going to tell you about one of the most excellent days that's ever been written about in the book, but I'm going to kind of preach it in a different way than I've ever preached it before. I'm going to kind of give you a blueprint of how to be excellent on a big level because you got to be excellent on a small level. Amen? Is that all right? When I'm reading this and preaching this today, I want you to understand one thing. David, King David, right? David, the man after God's own heart, David, where the lineage of Christ comes through, did not know that this day was going to be a big and excellent day, okay? When he got up that morning, he thought, just another day. Just another day that I'm going to do what I can for my family, but if God calls, some of y'all need to resign to this in your heart, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do for my family, but if God calls, I'm going to do some things for God today. And I want to show you something that's really, it's so easy. I wish, y'all go to Isaiah 17:40, and then we're going somewhere on the other page. But 17:40, I just can't help. Y'all just look over me, all right, just for a few minutes. If you're in 1 Samuel 17, you got to do this, okay? You just got to. And if you're visiting this morning, let your hair down, all right? You can act any way you want. Nobody knows you here, so. You can just act like anything. If God gets on you, have a time with him. We won't tell nobody. And he took his staff in his hand. Y'all see that? 1 Samuel 17:40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones. Y'all see that? 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. I hear pages turning, so I must have messed up. Somebody said, yeah. And he took his staff. Do y'all see it now? And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Do y'all see that? And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked out about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. He was young, he was small, and he was beautiful. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with the staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thee thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Do y'all see that? That day was an ordinary day turned excellent. An ordinary day turned big. All of a sudden, David finds himself right in the crosshairs of the greatest war machine of his time. One of the greatest warriors of his time. He stands in a field, and David right before that, King Saul tells him to put on his armor because he took a look at David too. And the first thing when he seen David, he said, you know what, David? I really want you to go out there and fight this giant, but first of all, let's get you suited up correctly. Amen? A lot of times in the church, we want to put on things to people. We want to put things on people that don't really belong to them, but we want to put it on them because we think we're going to help them somehow get closer to God and do great things for God. But what they really need is us to love them in Christ and to encourage them in Christ. So David takes and he took on Saul's his armor, and he kind of made a few steps. I want to think kind of like the way I think. It might not be that way, but I think he tried a couple moves. Somebody in here at Play Sports will just go with me on that. He just kind of like, you know, try to do something that he normally does. And he goes, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work for me. He took a couple steps, and all of a sudden he starts taking off, and he even put Saul's sword on. But after a few steps, he started taking it off. Golly, I wish y'all would help me preach right there. He started taking it off. He started, what a big guy David was right here. Because sometimes we'll have a hard time taking off what other people want to put on us, especially if it's spiritual. Because it ain't working. Some of y'all try to put on certain kind of churches, certain kind of ministries, certain kind of things that ever, it might have worked for your mother, your grandmother, your father, your grandfather, but it just ain't working for you because you're trying to put somebody else's armor on you that doesn't work for you because it worked for them. Praise God, it's time for you to trust God for you. Amen. It's time for you to say, you know what? God was good to you and good for you, and that worked for you, but praise God, I don't get up early. Got to get up early and read that Bible. What if I'm not a morning person? Can I read before I go to bed? Can I read on my lunch break? I'm sorry. Y'all got all quiet on me. Praise God. He took that stuff off, and you know what he started doing? He said, you know what? I have got a few small things that God has worked through, and I will use them. Amen? I love what he does. He goes over to the creek. He goes over to the brook where the water had run down, and he picks out five smooth stones. One, 2, 3, 4, 5. J-E-S-U-S. G-R-A-C-E. M-E-R-C-Y. I need some Jesus, I need some grace, and I need some mercy, and I need it now, Jesus. I can't trust in what everybody else done. I can't trust in everybody else's prayer. I can't trust in everybody else's church. I can't trust in everybody else's attendance. I can't trust in everybody else's prayers. Praise God, if you're going to be in my life, I want you to be in it 100%. If I live for you, I'll live. If I die for you, I'll die for you. But praise God, Jesus, it's me and you. He starts putting those five smooth stones, and everybody looks at him. He takes his little sling. His sling is small and insignificant, but praise God, in the hands of God, he starts whirling around. He goes, yeah, I'm used to this. I'm used to these are good rocks, too. Good rocks, right? So then he starts drawing near to the Philistine, and I started figuring this out is the closer he got to the enemy, and you might want to write this down. I'm preaching better than some of y'all are letting on by your faces, but watch this right here. As closer he starts drawing to the enemy starts looking at him, and what happens is the enemy is not used to Christians or believers, people that trust in God, closing the distance between them and what's going on. Christians usually talk a big game in church, but never go into the battle outside. We do pep rallies without ever playing the spiritual games. But David was having none of it, and he was drawing close to the giant. And the giant, the first thing the giant did was he's trying to do two things. The devil will do two things to you. The devil started threatening him. The devil started making himself big and talking like he was going to destroy him. Is there anybody in here that are going through any kind of spiritual warfare? The enemy sounds big when you're closing the distance. He will say things like, you're going to die, your mom died this way. You're going to die, your dad died this way. Oh, you're going to die because your grandmother died this way. Oh, you know, everybody in your family struggles with this. You can't get over that. Things like that. He started coming. He goes, do you not know who I am? He goes, do you come at me? Am I a dog? I love that. Am I a dog that you come at me with dog's weaponry? He said, if you keep coming, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. Can I preach to y'all? Watch this right here. You know what David was doing while the enemy was talking? Draw. That's good. That sounds good. God, I wish y'all get that. He never stopped walking. Some of y'all quit too much. He never stopped walking. He's loading this sling, and he's walking to him. Listen, two things I want to give you right there real quick. Don't dwell. I heard somebody on a social media post. I wish I could give him credit. They said, the enemy, if you're not careful, will want you to focus on his strength. Amen? Because if you're not careful, you'll be talking about how the world is stronger than God. If you're not careful, you'll be kind of saying that sin is bigger, a bigger problem than God. You'll be thinking like where sin abounds, grace doesn't much more abound. You'll think where sin abounds, there's no chance for grace to do anything. Some of y'all need to know and remember how you got saved. Some of y'all got saved. You got saved in the church. You was raised in the church. That's awesome. That's one wonderful testimony. But there's some people in here got saved. You were in such a dark place. When God planted the seed in you, the gospel seed, you never thought that that had any effect whatsoever. And some of the people around your life said, that ain't going to help them none. You mean you just mentioned the gospel, or you just shared Jesus with them? That ain't going to change anything. Amen? And here you sit in a church, all dressed up, all cleaned up. Man, people, they ask you questions. They respect your name. Praise God. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And if you're not careful, the enemy, if you're not careful, if you'll start magnifying his strength, but then if you're really not careful, this is one part they left off the post, was I seen right here, if you're not careful, you'll start magnifying your weaknesses. Amen? You'll start seeing your insignificance. You'll see the devil's strength, and you'll start seeing your weakness, and you'll be saying, oh, well, I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I can't beat sin, and I can't overcome, and I'm not as good as so-and-so. And man, I get around some Christians sometimes. I get around other preachers sometimes, and I'm like, whoa, man, that guy, he's something else. Who am I? Well, God should have just got somebody else. God should have picked somebody else. Have you ever been there? God, don't you need somebody else? God's knocking on your heart, knocking on your mind, trying to get you to do something radical for him. And the enemy, so he comes at you in this huge way. And the next thing you know, you start diminishing yourself. What I like about David is he never got his focus on the enemy or himself. He's still focusing on Jesus. Amen? If you'll just stay focused on Jesus, things will start to come together. Watch this right here. Look at verse 45. Things change right here. Amen. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. My God. He said, you've come at me with physical things. I'm coming at you with God who's never lost a battle. Amen. God's with me. You're all alone. You've got all this stuff that's helped you in the past. I've got a God who's helped me in everything. Whew. What? Some of y'all need to learn how to talk different. You know how you learn how to talk different? Read different. Input. God, I'm preaching like I preached when I first started preaching. Some of y'all need to change your input and your output. Praise God. Some of you got to put new things in your eyes, new things in your ears, and new things in your mouth, and let different things come out. I'll preach it simple like we did back in 2004. Garbage in, garbage out. Spiritual in. Ain't that amazing how that works? Some of y'all are wondering why you can't do battle with the enemy, because all you do is input his stuff. Your eye gate and your ear gate is full of his stuff. That's all you know what to talk about. But praise God, if you'll put the Word of God in you, let the Spirit of God speak for you, it'll be amazing. And it won't be long that you'll be saying stuff and people will be going like, man, you are powerful. And you'll be like, it ain't me. It ain't me. I started putting some stuff in. And the Holy Spirit that's in me started helping me pull some stuff out. Man, I can't help but preach. This is not even where I want to be. But I can't help me. You ever been that way? You can't help yourself. It's like eating dessert. Verse 47, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword or a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Praise God. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. And David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I love that. Sorry. And smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell upon his face upon the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head thereof with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Wow, there's a great army there with a great leader, the devil and all of his demons. Amen. Your biggest sin and all the sins behind it. David ran at it. It's a very good picture of Jesus. He was the chosen one. He came. He slew it. He was our champion. And guess what? Then he caused everybody else to flee. He gave us power over the things that he had power over. Amen. Ain't that amazing? But what I love about this is the most is, guess what? All of a sudden, here's David. He's got his giant on the ground. Some of y'all have had your giant on the ground. And he's laying there, he's knocked out, he's just not dead. Some of y'all have had drug addiction on the ground. Some of you have had pornography on the ground. Some of you have had lust, lying, manipulation, lying, anger, bitterness. Amen? I don't know what you're talking about. Some of y'all have a hard time with anger. Some of y'all are bitter. Some of y'all deal with unforgiveness. Some of you are wondering why when you keep coming to church, you can't get any freedom or liberty in Christ. It's because you're hating somebody either in the church or in your life that God told you to forgive a long time ago. And you keep asking people, what should I do? What should I do? How should I do? Here's what you should do. God, I forgive them, and I forgive them now. And whenever they approach me, they'll already be forgiven. And once they're forgiven, praise God, I won't have to do anything when they come other than say, hey, man, I washed my hands of that a long time ago. I forgave you. I love you. I was waiting for you to come back around. I'm glad you're here now. You want to do something cool like get a sandwich? And you say, man, that don't work. You're crazy. Can I give you an example? When I had a kid that I grew up with. His name was Daniel. I tortured that kid in high school. Tortured him. I don't know why we're going down this path, but I'm just going to say. We played basketball. He was a freshman and I was a senior. We tortured this kid. I mean, we tortured him. We tortured all the freshmen. I was tortured when I was a freshman. I'm not making excuses. That's just the way it happened. We did this thing. We just tortured him. Amen? Well, guess what? One time, Melissa got saved right after I got saved. I got saved in August. She got saved in October. We didn't have a baptistry in our church. So guess what? We had to go to another church that had a baptistry. So we went down the road, and we got down there, and the pastor opens the door, and I was seeing him. I said, man, that guy looks familiar. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Daniel. I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar. We got in there. My wife's in the back getting dressed for baptisms like they're going to do today. I'm sitting about the third row back. The pastor's sitting right here, Daniel. All of a sudden, I'm sitting up in the third row, and all of a sudden, like a film starts going off in my head. I know exactly who that guy is. That's Daniel White. When he was a freshman, I made his life a mortal Hades. That's a good save. Oh my God. What do I do? What do I do? This conviction starts coming over me. Go tell him you're sorry. Man, I got up out of the third row. I started walking up the front. The time I got to the front row, I was on the floor. I'm on my hands and knees in front of a guy. And I said, man, I just recognized who you are. He said, yeah, I'm Daniel. I said, no, I know exactly who you are. Man, I am sorry. I was an arrogant, mean-spirited, hard-hearted, small human being. Will you forgive me? He leaned over and said, get up, I already have. When God saved me, I forgave everybody of everything they've ever done in my life. And I said, oh my God. Can I throw one little extra in on that though? We'd run up the road doing revivals, doing things together years after that. And we were over at his house one day after this. This is about a year later. And he said, you know, funny thing about that, Kevin, about when we were freshmen. He said, I had a list of you guys before I got saved, and I was going to kill every one of you guys. And he said, I got really good at being a marksman. He goes, I've killed all kinds of deer. I've got all kinds of shooting awards, stuff like that. He goes, I had a list of you guys that I was going to kill every one of you. And he goes, good thing about it is you was probably about fifth or sixth on the list, so I probably went to jail before I got to you. I was thinking, man, there were four guys worse than I was. Thank God. But he forgave me. He didn't forget it. Listen to what I just said. He didn't forget it. He forgave it. Do y'all want to do great things for God? Do you really? Let me give you a blueprint of how great things will happen. Go to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 14. I just told you about one of the greatest days that ever happened in the Bible, right? Let me show you the blueprint for a great day. If you're a Christian, the greatest day is if you will ever get saved. But let me show you something. But David went and he returned to Saul's father, verse 14. And David was the youngest of the three eldest who followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Even though David was the next anointed king, had moved into the palace, and was playing the harp for Saul on a regular basis, oftentimes he would go back and feed his father's sheep. Okay? Verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Verse 17, here's where it gets good. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren. Verse 17 is this. David had an authority in his life, his father. Amen. Some of you have got authorities in your life. God's placed them there. The ultimate authority is God. The authority under that is your parents. The authority under that is anybody that's over you in this life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You got bosses. You've got government. You got things. There is certain authorities. As long as they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to put yourself under their authority. Amen? Are we good? All right? Well, watch this right here. David's father told him to do what? To get cheeses and bread and go down and wine and go down to where the battle was. Do y'all see that? Verse 18, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Are y'all good? Now Saul and they and all the mighty men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Verse 20, here we go. Y'all ready? I want you to put your thinking caps on this morning, okay? Stay with me right here. Because I want to show you a blueprint. Because some of y'all really do want to do excellent things for God. I want to show you how. And it's not what you think it is. It's being excellent in the small things. And David rose up early in the morning. I'm not talking about when you get up. I'm talking about when you pursue what God has put on your heart. Some of you have been putting off God for way too long. You have burdens. You have things that you want to do, and the only reason you're not doing them is because they're God's things and not your things. Amen? If it was about our homes, if it was about our jobs, if it was about our bellies, if it was about our kids, we had already done it. But it's God's thing. Amen? It reminds me of Noah's Ark. When he said, build the ark. The only thing crazy about Noah's Ark is it wasn't his ark. Amen? If Noah would have had that, if that had been Club Noah, if that had been Club Noah, just imagine the animals alone. He could have opened a zoo. Sorry. But the thing that made him stand out to all the people was this. God told me to build this because there's a judgment coming. God told me to do these things because there's a judgment coming. God, we've got to do what God calls us to do because there is a judgment coming. Watch this. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. He got up, and the thing that he did every day that was small and insignificant to everybody else, he made sure they were taken care of. Some of you need to make up your bed. Some of you need to clean your room. Some of you need to clean your houses. Some of y'all need to take care of some things that are perfectly in your realm of activity. Some of you need to do that yourself. Some of you need to clean up your attitude. Whew. I didn't even care about your room, your bed, or any of your houses. What I wanted to say is some of y'all need to clean up your attitude. Amen? Some of y'all need to get some joy, some happiness, some love, forgiveness. Some of y'all need to get an attitude of, you know what? I'm grateful that I'm still alive. I'm grateful that God called me out of my sin. God, I can't believe God still chooses to use somebody like me. Praise God, I'm up, I'm ready. Amen? Some of y'all need, man, I out of the whole scriptures, every time I read this, I think those have got to be the scaredest sheep on the face of the planet. Those are David's sheep. David killed a lion and a bear over those sheep. Could you imagine the substitute teacher that's taking care of them? David's going, I've got to go down here. I've got a bigger battle to worry about right now, but I have left you with Tom, and Tom is awesome. Tom's over there going, right? I could swear every sheep in there was going, God, Dave, come back home. Please make it back. Amen? I think about that every time I read that. I think, man, those sheep were probably just sitting there going, man, I hope he comes back. I can almost see him walking away and the sheep are watching him and they ain't even paying attention to the guy who's the substitute. Amen? Y'all remember that part of the message probably more than any of the rest. He left him with a keeper, and he took and went, and as Jesse had commanded him, he done exactly what the father told him to do. Guys, it's not complicated. The gospel's not complicated. Serving Jesus is not complicated. Just do what he tells you to do, period. He didn't get up the next morning and go, now, God, how exactly do you want me to do this? Who did you want to watch over the sheep? Oh, God, do we need to get this together? Do we need to get that? Do we need to ask somebody? Could we ask Mom? Maybe some of the sisters, could they figure out what? You know what he did? He didn't do it. He said, you know what? He told me to take this down here, then I'm doing it. So I got up early in the morning. I got the sheep taken care of. I got all the stuff together. I'm doing what my dad told me. Watch this. And he commanded, and he came to the trench of the host, 4 to 5. And he shouted to the battle. You know what else he did? You know what he had to do? 10 cheeses. 10 separate kinds of cheeses to feed the captains of the thousands. Wines, bread. Do you know what he had to do? He had to prepare all that. Getting all the cheeses packed on mules. Had to get all the bottles packed on mules. Had to get all the bread packed on mules and ready to go. Goodness. And then he's got to get ready and then he's got to start going. But let me ask you one question. Can I ask you just a simple question? What was he going down there to do? Think about it. What was he going down there to do? He was going down there to serve. He was going down there to serve cheese and bread and wine to the captains of the armies, and to check on to see how his brothers were doing. You know what he did? He is the greatest anointed man of all of Israel. He is the next king of Israel. He is the warrior king who has a heart that's after God. And you know what the blueprint is? He got up that morning with a heart to serve, and he went down there and he goes, I can't wait to give bread to these guys, cheese to these guys, and wine to these guys. I'm not too big to serve the smallest people. He went down there with an attitude. Guys, listen, this is what we got to do. We got to change our attitude. Christianity, it ain't about us. If you're saved, it ain't about you anymore. It's about those people that are lost and undone. And it ultimately is about God. It's about God. We're supposed to say, God, you got a blank check with me. Whatever you want to glorify your life through me, glorify yourself through me, I will do. And God, give me a burden. We started this February off totally wrong. I did. I started off wrong. God got on to me this morning. I started off wrong. You know what the first thing we should have done before we done anything else this month? Prayed. Prayed for who? A burden. You know who's going to win these people in this community? Us. We should have all said, God, put somebody in this community on my heart. I mean, just swamp me with somebody. Somebody that I can't stop thinking about. Somebody that I'm pursuing to tell them about Christ and show them the love of Christ. So here's your assignment. Start seeking a burden for somebody in this community. Not a burden just to make friends with them. Not a burden just to get around them. A burden to say, God, when you give me the opportunity, let me sling shut like a mouse trap. Let me sling shut with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me the anointing and the power to share the gospel. He went down there with an attitude to serve his brothers and everybody else that was there. And you know what happened? He got down there and a conversation broke out. A conversation broke out about what was going on. And then all of a sudden, Goliath showed up. And then guess what else showed up? A bigger purpose. Here's the blueprint for you. You're never going to do your purpose for God until you go into the arena where you're supposed to serve with a servant's attitude, get into some conversations about what's going on, and then all of a sudden, without you even knowing it sometimes, your purpose is going to show up and you're going to be standing there doing what God actually wanted you to do, and you didn't even know that's how He wanted you to do it. Let's all stand. Everybody's going to be baptized. Start heading that way. We're going to end the service a little bit different today. Scott? I will need you to sing before...